Well, thank you for the opportunity, Billy, to appear here at the Utah Taxpayers Association. You have insulted me a little bit by calling me the minority leader. I'm not the minority leader. I'm the super minority leader. And I don't want people forgetting it. Actually, that's something the speaker would say. He doesn't want people forgetting that. He wants to have us retain our position as super minority. But we're working. We're working to change that. You know, this is such an important issue. There's one thing that I wanted to just say. I know the speaker is in this spot right now, and he'll be here because he and I were just speaking together at another thing up at the Capitol, and he was behind me in the car. But one of the things that I think is important that we have to keep in mind as Utah State legislators and as policymakers is the big picture that is sort of illustrated by this. We've had people come up to us, you've had people come up to you and say this. You may think this yourself, and I'll take this opportunity to disagree with you, that we need to pay close attention to and take special care in our handling of the job creators. The job creators, the people who are, you know, moving businesses and creating businesses. Well, we certainly do need to create an atmosphere that facilitates really vital and great vitality among those who are both creating businesses and moving here. I'm a small businessman myself. I've had my own law firm from 2003 until now. It's the most entrepreneurial legal business that you can imagine because all my cases are done on a contingent fee basis. I don't get paid unless I have a positive result for my client. It's very risky. I get entrepreneurial thinking. I love being an entrepreneur. I love risk taking. It's at the core of what I do every day in my law practice and in my, to some extent, in my legislative work too. But I would humbly submit to you that the job creators have nothing to do with people in my socioeconomic bracket or the socioeconomic bracket of people who own businesses and who are venture capitalists. It has everything to do with making sure that consumers have the means to consume. Consumers are the job creators. If I don't have anyone who's out there willing to purchase my services or in the market to come to me and say, I need your services and I have the means to pay for them. And the means to pay for them for me is a claim that's big enough for me to say, well, why don't you and I go in on this claim together and see if we can have a positive result for both of us. Others, of course, marketing goods and services, the job creators are the individuals who have the means to come to them and say, I'd like to purchase your tax services. I'd like to purchase your widget. I'd like to go to dinner at your restaurant. I'd like to buy your shoes or any other of the commodities that we see marketed on places like Amazon. I would submit to you that we get in trouble as policymakers when we begin to focus too heavily on the individuals and the entities that have the means to easily contact us as policymakers and say, I need your help on this particular issue that inures to my self-interest or my company's self-interest. Those are important lobbying issues. I'm not denigrating them or saying that we shouldn't talk to lobbyists or shouldn't deal with them, because we obviously should. But we are way too quickly as policymakers diverted in our attention to those, to the predominance of dealing with those kinds of issues, and neglecting questions about what it will take to ensure that consumers have what they need to be healthy and consume in a way that will allow us to have a vital economic base and activity in our state and in our country. I'm most concerned about that. I'm most concerned about that as a policymaker. And so when we talk about tax reform, I sit on the Revenue Taxation Committee in the House. It's very interesting work. It's complex. There are very often very subtle, nuanced issues that we're dealing with, and it calls for nuanced thinking on our part as opposed to black and white, all or nothing kind of thinking. But we've got to do a better job, I think, in the state of Utah at considering and thinking strongly about what it is that's going to be best for consumers of the state of Utah, as opposed to those who we have traditionally thought of, many of us at least have more traditionally thought of as job creators. You know the old story about Henry Ford. Henry Ford was insistent on paying his workers enough that it would allow them to purchase his product. He was smart. If he didn't pay his workers enough to purchase the product he was manufacturing, do you think he'd sell as much product? Obviously not. The same is true today. We need to focus on that and be concerned about it. I'd say this about tax reform. I don't really see in the 2018 session tax reform happening that is going to be controversial or really significant in terms of being potentially used as a political issue, because it is an election year. I'm not saying that there won't be some tax reform, but I think that it'll be tax reform that is more even-handed if it happens in terms of how it can be pitched to voters in August, September, October of 2018, once they're out, once you have candidates out campaigning and you have incumbents running for office again. That's the kind of thing that I would expect in terms of tax reform. I'll tell you this, and I think it's shared by many in this room. I know it's shared by the governor because he's expressed it to me one-on-one. We've got to figure out something to shore up our eroding sales tax base. You've probably heard before now today, I haven't been here, but you've probably heard before the degree to which we've got an eroding sales tax base. In the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that kind of time frame, 70% of our transactions were subject to some sort of sales tax. Now it's significantly under 50%. Part of that is our shifting economic activity in this state and in this country in terms of moving more economic activity, both not just online. Online is an issue that we've been grappling with in terms of how we deal with the taxation of those transactions, and I think we're making some progress there, and we'll continue to make progress. I'm more concerned about the shift that is occurring in terms of economic activity from a sales tax that is focused on manufacturing and that is relatively easy to impose sales taxes on and collect, you know, have the government obtain revenue from that, versus an economic aside, a source of economic activity that is more focused on professional services, healthcare, legal services, accounting services, that are very difficult to tax, and we haven't really come up with a way in Utah or any place in the country to effectively do that. I don't know what the answer is, because there are a lot of vested interests that are strongly opposed to that. But I do think that we have to be realistic in how we handle an eroding sales tax base. And it's not, we talk about this three-legged stool all the time, property taxes, income taxes, and sales taxes. We're seeing sales taxes becoming a weaker and weaker component of that. And I think that gives people a lot of concern. I think it should give people a lot of concern. It gives me some concern, because we need to have a stable tax base. There are a couple of other things that I wanted to just touch bases. I don't know how much time, Billy, you will have, want to give me for this, but because the speaker's sitting back there. And I want to take any time that I can from the speaker. I mean, he and I are good friends, but you know, he's not as trustworthy as the Democrats. Do you have any questions? Thank you for coming. Thank you for your interest in what we do at the Utah State Legislature.